l'idée d'avenir, je crois, qui permet de rejoindre tout le monde. Voilà, donc ce n'est qu'une transformation, ce n'est pas une mort.
Non.
Ce n'est qu'un au revoir.
C'est ça.
C'est ça. Oh, there we are. There's Stella.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Hello, my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. You are listening to Voices of Montreal Panacea on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's me, your host, Michelle, and it's 11 months of the show this month, so that's so close to 1 year, it's really exciting. And today is a double header day for Panacea, so this is a redo from last week because I slept through the show. It happens. Your girl's body needed the sleep, so this week, this Thursday, we're joined by my wise and awesome friend, who's also an avatar in another life, Ben. Say hi, Ben.
What's up, guys?
And he's going to share a lot of insightful knowledge about the practice of meditation and how it helps us achieve mindfulness or get closer to the...
Yeah, just to essentially try to be a more mindful person.
Yeah, try to be a more mindful person. And then later today from 5 to 6, I also have a show with my good friend Saoirse, and we're going to be talking about creativity and psychopathology. So, as always, let's begin with a song. This is How Long Do I Have to Wait for You by Sharon Jones and the Dip Kings. Okay. I love that song. So we're going to do just like a quick intro to mindfulness awareness and what mindfulness is and basically all the different ways that we can achieve it, because meditation is just one of the practices that we can implement in our lives to help us become more mindful.
Yeah, I like to think about it like as a tool, essentially, that you're using.
Okay, so what is mindfulness? Like, how would you explain mindfulness, and why are you here? Like, why do you get to talk about meditation? Like, maybe talk about, like, how long you've been practicing meditation?
Yeah, so I grew up, both of my parents are Buddhist, and I grew up in a Buddhist community. So I've been practicing for most of my life, and I did my first program when I was 11. And ever since then, I've just been trying to do as many programs as I can.
What do you mean program?
Program is like a meditation program, which can be anywhere from like a day to like a week long or even longer. It's essentially where like a teacher will give a talk and kind of introduce you to subject matter for that specific session. And then you'll usually just meditate because that's kind of the basis of what everything is like kind of going on. So it's really just getting to know your own mind and yourself. And through doing meditation, you actually, yeah, you just gain more awareness of what's going on with yourself and then also your surroundings. And
guys, Ben is bald, by the way. Please, I just need to make that a statement so everyone can know. Ben, wait, I would ruin the surprise, but you have to see
him. I feel like you say I'm bald, but it seems like I can't grow hair. But
no, he's not.
I shaved my head.
Yes, he shaved his head. He's not naturally bald yet, maybe.
Hopefully never.
Knock on wood. Anyway, yeah, sorry. When we were planning this show, I was sort of, I feel like I was confused about what the idea of mindfulness was. Like, I feel like it's just a very hot, trending word that people like to use, but, like, the actual meaning behind it is, I feel like, a bit misconstrued.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can kind of take it at face value, but behind it, for me at least, is more just, like, awareness about yourself, your own feelings and emotions, and how that relates to other people and just the world around you. And that just brings you back into being more touched with, like, the actual present moment, and kind of just being able to realize what's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think you have to think about it as a too complicated of a subject.
It just is.
Yeah, it just is.
Guys, so last week I missed my show because I slept through it. And I was very I was very upset about missing it because I was really excited for this one. And I had a little cry because as one does. And then I thought in my head, oh my gosh, this is actually, I've already told you this off mic, but I'm repeating it again. But please react like you've heard it for the first time. So I was like, oh my God, Ben is like the best person to miss a show with. Not that I would want to miss a show with anyone because like that obviously sucks. But I was like, literally the other day we were talking about how Ben was just saying, sometimes you just got to let it be. Like things just happen and they just are. There's no like negative or positive valence that you attach to them. They just are. And I was like, huh. Maybe Ben will just like let this be just as it is.
Yeah, let that one go. After calling you like 15 times and ringing
your doorbell. Yeah,
and
ringing my doorbell. Okay. Shit. Yeah.
But yeah.
Been a tough month, but yeah. Letting things be, I feel like, is such a hard practice to actually implement.
Yeah.
And how does meditation actually help with that? Because I feel like a lot of people think it's just, oh, I'm going to focus on my breath, but it's so much more than that, and it provides you with so much more control over other areas of your life.
Yeah, I think actually what might help is, like, a base of meditation, I think a lot of people's, like, kind of think of it as this thing where you try to not think about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be, like, blank, and that's a total, like, misconception. You're actually there to think about lots of things and just be aware of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And when a thought comes up, you don't have, like, a positive or negative reaction to it. You kind of just, you're like, okay, I realize that this is what's coming up for me. If it's bad or good or whatever, they're all natural human emotions. And then you accept it. You're like, oh, cool. You don't have to overanalyze it or do anything with it. You just let it be a thought and then come back to your breath and just go back to breathing. And it's just a repetitive process because your brain's always going and you're not going to not think. Like, that's totally not going to happen.
That sounds so much easier on paper to do than it is like.
Yeah, the concept is very simple, but in practice, it's like a super hard thing.
Yeah,
because I mean, like, not a lot of people just have the time or the space or like the willpower to be like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and not have any distractions and
try to just things.
Yeah, like be with myself.
Yeah.
It's like a very hard thing to do, actually.
I picture it as, sometimes I have, like, weird visions and, like, images in my head when I think about things. But when you say that and you're like, you just have to, like, think about it as a thought, I picture myself as just a person standing in like a subway train or a subway train, but really it's a sheet of music, but it's moving like a subway train.
Okay.
And this sheet of music is your thoughts, and every note is like a thought that comes up, and it just like, you're just standing there and the music is moving through you and you're just like letting it come into one ear and out the other, but like you're not moving with the music. You're just standing there and the music's moving. That's like not a very good representation.
No, that's kind of a fun analogy. Never thought about it that way. But I guess even more what I'd like kind of play into that analogy is you could think about it like a train, and then as a train comes, that's your thought. And mm-hmm. it's totally fine to go hop on and like be with that thought and ride the train for a couple stops or something. But then mm-hmm. also like, you have this moment where you're like, oh man, like I'm still on this train or I'm still thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I need to get off. Like I just need to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Train of
yeah. So it's more just, yeah, about coming back and being aware of what you're actually thinking about and what you're doing.
Yeah. But then doesn't being aware of thinking about what you're thinking about make you think about it? Inception.
It can, but then can you also, you can just go back to your breath then and not try to overanalyze it.
That's true. But sometimes I feel like they get stuck in the back of my head, and I'm
of course, and that just means that it's like more of a prevalent thought that you're having at that moment. And you're like, oh, cool. Maybe sit with it for a little longer, and while you're meditating, you're like, okay. If you realize that you're thinking about it more often, you're like, oh, I wonder why, and play with that idea for a little bit. You're like, oh, I wonder why. Go down that train of thought. I'm like, why am I thinking about this so much?
Mm-hmm. But ultimately,
but don't like hang on to it and be like, oh, I have to find a solution to this or something. Like, I have to figure it out. Be like, oh, okay. Cool, that's just coming up a lot. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let it go and be like, all right, I'm coming back to my breath now. And something else will eventually just come up. Yeah, cool, different thought.
So many thoughts, but so, yeah, so, like, I feel like my brain's empty, so I don't know. I've been thinking about, like, journaling after you meditate. Do you do that?
I don't personally. I don't think there's a problem with it. I don't see why there would be. Do you mean like in terms of like writing down what you've thought about or what came up for you?
Yeah. Or is that holding on to it too much? Like, is that sort of going against the ethos of the practice of meditation?
I think it depends on how you use it. I think if it's like, if you're sitting and you're trying to use meditation as like a place for you to kind of come up with a lot of thoughts
mm-hmm.
and then go analyze those later, I don't think that's a necessarily great way to do it.
Yeah.
'Cause then you're kind of like, You're being present while you're meditating, but then you're actually just sucking yourself backwards after.
Right.
After the fact and kind of
right.
negating everything that you just did.
Uh-huh.
But it might work for some people, and who am I to say it's bad?
That's true. That's very fair.
You know?
So what is, like, experience. The purpose? What do you think the purpose, like, what do you use meditation, like, in your life for? Like, what's the purpose of meditation for you? Just to help you be present?
Yeah, that's a big one for sure, and I think the biggest thing is to actually just become a more compassionate and empathetic human.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about later.
Yes, we will. but no, it's to have the awareness of like, oh man, like I'm having this experience. And mm-hmm. yeah, once again, be it good or bad, like you can be sad or you can be mad or like something's coming up for you. It's being able to be like, oh man, I have this experience. Other people must also have this.
Right.
And so then it's like, cool, you're out in the real world. You're not going to go and give somebody a super hard time then just because, like,
yeah.
they reacted in a bad way. You're like, yeah. oh, maybe they're just going through some stuff and, like, I can have a little bit of empathy for them. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, tough.
Yeah.
And I don't have to then go and, like, react in a bad way back to them. And,
yeah.
like, kind of exacerbate everything.
Guys, this is, like, the crux of all my being is empathy talk, which, like, I'm frothing at the mouth for. We're going to listen to a song. This is Mama Don't Let Me by Kalinga. And then after, we're going to go over some like meditation 101 and actually, what do you actually do when you are getting ready to meditate and what do you actually do when you're meditating? So, song first, and then we talk. Okay, bye. Sorry, that was a preview for the next song. I like to let songs play out all the way through sometimes. Well, every single time I play them, I feel like a sense of guilt when I don't let them, I don't let them play all the way through. Do you do that?
Yeah, unless I've, like, listened to it way too much recently.
Yeah, that's really
in which
fair.
Case, I either just skip it right at the beginning when I start.
Yeah.
Like, I get, like, a minute in, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I'm like, I've actually heard this chorus 5,000 times in the last takes. I always get, like, hyper-fixated on songs.
I do that. I play it until I don't like it.
Yeah.
Great. And then I find it, like, a year later, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I remember why it like this, and then I was like, because I was in pain!
Cycle it again.
Yeah. I have this playlist on Spotify, on Spotify called Libra. Because I'm a Libra gal, and it has like all of the songs that I've once loved but like overplayed way too many times that I can never listen to again for like a while, but they're in there and I see them and I recognize them, but like I'm like I've never played that playlist, I've never shuffled that playlist because all of the songs are just like way too
overheard it.
Yeah, I get too into it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, meditation 101. What do you do when you meditate?
Yeah, let's hop into it. I'm going to sit up and fix my own posture before starting this. But yeah, basics is just like find yourself a nice kind of quiet space where you feel comfortable. And then take a seat. Usually you're cross-legged sitting on like a cushion on the floor. You can be like full, they call it full lotus, which is like when you do like what your like legs are like intertwined. Or you just do half lotus, which is like crisscross applesauce.
Yeah. And if you then, do, like, butterfly pose.
I mean, do whatever makes you comfortable.
The
general one is just, like, a half lotus where you're just sitting there.
Right, on the pillow.
Basic, on the pillow. Yeah, whatever's comfortable, like, so you can actually do it. A lot of, like, times people, like, just have to sit in a chair or something.
Yeah. You know the meditation pillow I have in my room?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a meditation pillow, but Cole, I'm going to call you out for a second. You're probably not listening, but if you are... In, like, second year, we went to this store on St. Lowe called Arabuda. I'm saying that so awfully. But, Happy Buddha. And they sell, like, they have such cute little knickknacks that, like, my ADHD brain is like, oh, yes, touch here and there, and it's so thanks. Pleasure. And I was staring at this pillow being like, oh, my God, I really like this pillow. Like, I kind of want it. But, like, not actually thinking that anybody would get it for me because... Or that I would buy it because, like, I don't usually sit on the floor. I don't really need a floor pillow. Like, that's not really something I need. And Cole, like, notches this, like, in his mind and, like, buys me a gift for some occasion or something. And he's like, I have something that I think you'll really like. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited because I'm, like, I really like gifts and his love language is gift giving. And so I'm like, okay, I can't wait for this gift. He, like, shows up with this huge bag from the store. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to be the hammock that I want because I wanted to get a hammock. So that I could hang from my ceiling and sit and chill.
Oh, damn.
But I couldn't. And he ended up whipping out this pillow. And I was like, huh. He's like, oh, I know.
Got
like
a hammock, but sweet.
Yeah, it was like 2 months later that he was like thinking about this, being like, I know Michelle wants this and blah, 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 blah.
Awareness.
And I was like, huh. Wow, a pillow. And he goes, do you like it? I'm like, yes, I love it so much. I didn't use it for like a year and a half. And
did
then
you
I
remember that it was from the store?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like, I remember that time we went to that store and you were like, you wanted this? And I was like, damn. Yes, I do remember saying that, but I think I misled you. I don't actually have any use for it. But then I actually started using because I like to sit on my floor and fold my laundry sometimes and like have mental breakdowns on the floor. So I just lie down and.
Well, now you can have another use for it.
Yes.
Start meditating.
Yes. So I meditate and I sit in this pillow.
Yeah. But get something like that, like something supportive, so you can just sit on it and be comfortable. I sometimes even just sit on my hardwood floor, which sucks after like 15 minutes.
Yeah, the tailbone.
Oh, real killer. But yeah, no, from there, you just want to like sit up, have a good posture, which means you have like a strong back and an open front. So I like to think about it, and oftentimes how people like give the meditation transmission is... You're sitting and you think about having like kind of being like what, like a marionette doll,
uh-huh.
What they're called.
Uh-huh.
You have like a string coming from the top of your head and it's like gently being pulled by whatever puppet master. And like based on that string, it's like kind of pulling your spine so that each vertebrae is sitting comfortably on top of the next one.
Which is a lot harder than Ben makes it sound, by the way. Like, that's
just practice,
not...
once again, just practice. You practice good posture too. It's like something that a lot of people lack and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the easier it gets. And actually, after a while, too, like that does, it is actually the most comfortable position to sit in for a while, because you're not having to do a lot of effort. Your spine is actually the thing holding you up instead of, like, your back muscles or whatever.
Better than slouching?
So much better than slouching.
Yeah, but you have to get used to it.
Yeah, no, you do. This is why, like, this is why you start and, like, you don't have to meditate for a long time. Do it for, like, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. For, like, a minute.
Yeah.
But, yeah, start with that. Start with, like, a strong back and a soft front, which means you're not, like, trying to, like, puff your chest out or whatever. Kind of think like you're...
There's no alpha male like shit going on here.
Like, yeah, but think about yourself like a royalty sitting on a throne or something. Like, you know, you have this, like, strong kind of, like...
Yeah.
Almost like authoritative. Like, yeah, exactly. You're holding yourself well. And that's the basics. And then from there, you just... You can, like, let your arms just rest down and pick your hands up from your... From, like, starting from your elbow. So you kind of just, like... Deh. And then you just let them drop onto your lap, wherever's comfortable and natural. And that's, like, the main posture part. And from there, you're letting your gaze... You're not, like, having a super hard focus on anything. You don't want to be, like, looking at something and be, like, distracted by that all of a sudden. So your eyes are, like, kind of down, focusing, like, 5 to 6 feet in front of you is the basic form. And then, yeah, not staring at one spot super intensely, but, like, just... kind of being open and aware of everything that's going on around you.
So eyes open.
Eyes open, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a great starting place because you're not, like, trying to block anything out. And
right.
There's also lots of different forms of meditation, and some of them do involve sitting with your eyes closed, and that's fine, too.
Just whatever vibes with yourself.
Yeah, but just, like, let's go for the basic one and not make it overly complicated.
Yeah.
And just go eyes open, gaze kind of down, like, 6 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, not staring at anything too hard, and then... Yeah, from there you have your posture and kind of what you're looking at, and then you just focus on your breath. You can let your tongue, like, sort of gently rest on the top of your mouth, kind of by, like, your front teeth, and you're just breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Don't have to overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathing. And that's what you're focusing on. You're mainly focusing on your out-breath. So you just breathe in, and then as you breathe out, you're like, you kind of pay attention to that. And from there, a whole bunch of stuff's going to come up. You're going to, like, either have thoughts or you're going to be like, man, like, my back is stiff or something.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, these are all just going to be little distractions. Like, that's essentially all that you're trying to focus on and deal with. You're
right.
Like, oh, cool. Like, this has come up. My back feels like this. Or, like, man, there's a fly that's buzzing around my room and pissing the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's like, how can you deal with it? Like, do you have to go and relate to it right now? Or can you kind of just let it be and let it go on? And,
yeah, when Ben said that, I was like, no.
Not gonna happen. Yeah, no, just be like, okay, cool, there's a fly and it's bugging me. Like, let the fly do its thing, man. Just sit there and come back to your breath. Go back to focusing on that instead of the bug or your back pain or whatever else is going on.
No matter how long it takes you to get there, like, eventually.
Yeah, no, sometimes you just space out. I've done meditation sessions where I'm, like, in a daydream for, like, 20 minutes and I'm like, whoa. I got deep into that. And then you realize, and you're like, cool, wait, I kind of want to, like, go back into it. This is, like, one of the first times, like, one of my first programs. I think it must have been, like, 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a weekend thing. So we had, like, a talk on Friday night, and that was, like, a two-hour talk. And then on Saturday, you come in the morning, and essentially you're meditating all day. So you meditate from, like, 8 to noon, and then you have an hour lunch break, and then you meditate from, like, 1 to 5 or something.
Ben is the wisest, most... sagest senpai put together.
I don't even think so.
Poised gentleman, distinguished gentleman I know.
Distinguished gentleman. No,
that
I
is
don't
the
think so.
Highest order of compliment currently.
Thank you. I'll take it, but I don't know if I agree. But yeah, so I was sitting there and it was like the morning session and I was like, oh man, it's Saturday and I got 2 days of this and we're just starting. And
yeah.
There's a period where I'd zoned out for like 30 minutes and was like, oh man, that was awesome. I kind of just want to get back into that. Like 30 minutes is fast. I want to keep spacing out right now. I got to get through this. I have like 6 hours ahead of me. But then it's also cool to be like, oh no, actually like something else might come up. Maybe it's cooler. Maybe it's not. And you kind of just put that other one away.
Yeah. And it just happened.
It just happens. And then you're like, oh wow. Like I was real out of it. And then all of a sudden you have this like almost aha moment where you come back to the moment. You're like, cool.
Cool, I'm here actually, and I'm doing this for hours more.
And it's great because you see all the things that are going around, like on around you. Like in my case, then I was like, oh man, like all of these other people, like somebody was like laying down that I hadn't even noticed was like laying down. So I was like, that's weird. Why are you doing that? That's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Pause. What happened?
And then like
13-year-old
me was like, wait, can I lay down? And I was like, no, that's bad. I was like, just do it. just sit here and do nothing.
But I feel like...
But yeah, it's just letting things come up and kind of relating to them as they come and then being like...
Yeah. Like, when you first, like, and I feel like I had such, like, a misconception of what meditation was, because I was like, oh, well, it sounds so hard, I don't even want to try it, because I know already that I'm not going to be good at it. And it is very hard, but, like, you don't have to be good at it. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to sit here and, like, brain thoughts, no empty, nothing, but, like...
So still and not fidget at all.
That's such an unrealistic expectation to place on somebody who's doing it for the first time.
No, and I feel like on anybody, even people who've been doing it for, like... their whole life.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's weird to sit there with yourself. And
yeah.
It's also like, the first couple of times you do it, you're like, oh man, I'm doing this wrong. Like, this seems way more difficult than it should be. But that's exactly the experience that you should be having. And it's like, that's
kind
of it. And also, it's like, everybody's own experience is their thing, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. It just is.
Yeah, it is, and it's genuine. So just accept it and let it be.
And, like, also misconception. I started meditating in the sun because it makes me, I feel like it's easier for me to, like, stay focused on one thing because I can feel the sun, like, grounding me more. So, like, it really just, like, depends on, I mean, you really just have to find, like, your own environment that works for you and, like, the conditions that make you more likely to do something or
not. Well, a lot of things make it easier, too. And that's another way to, like, play with the things that come up while you're meditating. Like, I staff a children's summer camp. It's like a Buddhist summer camp, and it's up in the Rocky Mountains. And so we were, like, camping outside for a week, and we do a lot of meditation out there, and it's all outside in, like, our outdoor shrine room. And those are, like, the most fun meditation experiences because you're sitting outside, and there's, like, all this stuff happening around you. And it also makes it difficult because you're like, oh, man, like, look at that thing, or look at that cloud go by. And it's also, it's very peaceful. You're like, cool. Like, there's no like loud city noises or anything, which makes it easier to, like, be like, oh, cool, I'm going to focus on my breath. But that's also something to play with, you know? It's like, when you're meditating, the world doesn't just stop.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, things are still happening. And it's being able to take the practice that you do in meditation and, like, from this kind of more quiet environment that you're setting up for yourself, and then taking that and applying it to the real world of, like, oh, cool, like, I'm not the only person, and a lot of things are going on around me. Am I still able to be, like, this is what I'm going through and this is what other people are going through, and come back to the moment and be like, oh, right, this is like coming back to my breath.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask, I was going to somehow...
Like, wind into what's the application of meditation in your daily life.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, what if I wanted to do meditation but I can't find quiet space? Well, it's like, there doesn't need to be a quiet space.
Yeah, that's just the circumstance that you're dealing with. You're just like, oh, man, I can't really escape my life and everything that's going on, but you just try to give yourself a little bit of a break. And,
and
the more that you do it, the easier that it becomes to actually apply it in your everyday life. And, like, when you're out in the real world, you're like, oh, cool. I don't have, like, the comfort of my own little, like, room that's quiet and, you know, zoned off from everything else. But, like, there's a lot of distractions going on. So can you actually, like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm, like, freaking out in the middle of public, but it's cool. I'm going to, like...
It's cool.
Actually, I'm going to just take a breath and, like, focus on my breath right now.
Yeah.
And calm myself down. Like, just, it's that act of being aware about what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm gonna swing this over and connect it to... Because a lot of people living with mental illness find it very hard to just engage in that practice and let their thoughts go because a lot of... experiences that people have living with mental illness is this negative feedback loop of, like, negative cognitions that just is a lot harder for people to let go of just because of the nature of, like, their broad array of human experiences. And so it can be harder to do that, but that's not to say that this is, like, discounting all of those experiences. It's just, like, you're going to have to put in more active effort to be doing so. But we can talk about this for hours and hours, and I think we should listen to a song first.
All right.
But our super cool friends have a band. They're called Meerkat, and I don't know if you remember, but in February, Rex and Seb came on our show and talked about inception of the band and how they're merely just cats and whatnot. And they just released a new single 20 days ago now. It's called Talking Through a Smile. And here it is. They're super awesome, talented, great, amazing, funny, so kind.
Rad crew.
Show-stopping, and most importantly, humble. So, here we go.
Shaka.
Okay. So we're gonna. So basically, what I was saying before is that this summer, I went to therapy, and there was this one session. Ben has already heard the story, but he's gonna act like he hasn't.
Again.
I went to the session, and I was like, I don't need to be here right today. I was like, I feel good. I feel like I've talked through all my issues. Like, I don't really want to be here. And I was kind of dreading it. At the beginning of the session, I told my therapist, I was like, Emily, I feel like I don't need to be here today. She was like, why do you feel that way? And we started having this conversation. And one of, like, the biggest breakthroughs I've made in therapy throughout the whole time that I've been there was during this session, which is kind of ironic. Because we started talking about just sort of feelings, and I was realizing that a lot of my mindset surrounding my negative emotions, especially because, you know, as someone living with ADHD, I have a lot of emotional dysfunction, and it can be really hard for me to regulate my emotions and return back to sort of like a baseline state. And living with social anxiety and generalized anxiety also makes it harder for me to let go of, like, ruminating thoughts. It's very easy for me to ruminate in the past and ruminate about the future and really get stuck in those loops and forget that, oh, I'm actually here and I'm actually now. And, like, my anxiety is, for the most part, lying to me. While it can be kind of adaptive and sometimes, and that's why we've evolved to have, like, neuroticism as a trait in our Big Five, it interferes with my ability to function and actively participate in life as a person. And so then I get really frustrated with myself, and I harbor a lot of feelings of guilt and shame because I'm like, I don't like my emotions. I don't like the way I act on my emotions or react to my emotions instead of responding to them. And I was sort of dancing around this idea of like, well, I want to be happy. And she was like, what does happiness mean to you? Because I think I had this like fantasy idea of what happiness was and sort of just being like, yeah, I want to be happy. And she's like, well, what do you think a happy person is like? And I was like, huh, I've never actually gone past that point and thought about it a little bit deeper because it's so unrealistic to expect somebody to be happy all the time.
Yeah. People like latch onto that idea.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, like,
cause it's such like,
man, they're so happy. Like, you're like,
it's such an enticing idea. Yeah. You know, like there's so many like pop culture, I don't know, like strivings towards like a pursuit of happiness and like chasing after happiness. And like, I think that's what I was doing. And also at the same time, really negating and like not showing a lot of self-compassion for myself because I'm like, well, I shouldn't be feeling angry. I shouldn't be feeling anxious. These are wrong and they need to be fixed. And sort of Jack and I also sort of talked about this when they came on my show. But just sort of being aware of all of the broad ranges of human emotions and experiences that people can have, because personality falls on a dimension. We've been kind of going over personality the last few months on this segment, and personality really does fall on a dimension. And so like every single experience that you can have is just like one iteration of what someone else can feel. And I realized that I was like, hey, it's actually okay for me to be angry and react to things.
Yeah,
and it's just actually okay for me to be anxious because like that's just inherent in my thought process and my cognition, but that doesn't mean that that's who I am. It doesn't mean that those are like definite defining thoughts or emotions that make me who I am. They just are. And I like really struggled with that for so long. And I think once I made that click of like, oh wait, actually, yeah, like we should be more accepting of like the emotions that we have, instead of trying to change them, we should just become more aware of them in our own lives and also just like collectively as a society, because I think that also would be really helpful. And yeah, like, yeah, that really changed my perspective and like really helped me be a lot more forgiving towards myself, because I feel like it's very easy for me to have compassion for others because I'm so educated about like how the human brain works and what's going on. But then I forget that I'm also
going through the same experience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which like, and so when Ben and I were talking about like meditation and sort of going over what we could talk about in the show, like meditation is one of the ways that you can become aware and accepting of your feelings.
Of your emotions. Yeah. Just kind of what your experience is. You know, it's like, I find a lot of times we label these things of like being angry or being sad or even happy, you know, it's like we give them labels and we try to put them into a category. And then sometimes that leads into like labeling your identity or like your persona, but it doesn't have to in that sense. And yeah, it's actually the realization that all of those feelings, happy, angry, sad, they're all genuine human emotion and experience. Mm. And it's trying to not latch on to them or reject them in any way. You know, it's like people try to latch on to happiness, like, oh, I want that all the time or something. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's like, it's the idea of like the present moment. Like everything is impermanent. Like that is going to happen. And then it's also like, it's just going to change. You can't hold on to it forever.
Yeah.
Which is also a great plus when you think about the other like things where you're like, oh man, I'm like angry right now. Or like, I'm sad and like, I feel like shit. And it's mm-hmm. like, guess what? It's impermanent. It's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, like you'll get through it. And yeah, it's trying to not label yourself anyway because you feel these. Like, that's just it's a genuine experience that you're having.
Yeah.
And to recognize that, relate to it, and then kind of just accept it and once again just let it go. Be like, cool. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm experiencing right now. Like, right now I'm pissed off or something. Like,
yeah.
That's fine. Be pissed off.
Yeah.
But then don't, like, hold on to that idea.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't be like, man, I'm just going to stay this way and, like, have no foresight of being like, actually, like, things are fine. I don't need to be pissed off.
Right yeah. Now.
I could just as easily switch it up right now for myself.
Like, yeah.
Take a breath, come back to the breath, and just move on from it. Like,
and in that way, meditation
harder done than...
Yeah. Easier said than done, for sure. But, like, in that way, meditation is just, like, a really great form of self-care.
It's just a tool. You can just use it to actually get to know yourself. And, like, that's the whole thing of meditation, is, like, sitting with yourself and, like, you have all of these emotions come up when you're meditating. You know, it's like, you're sitting there, like, one day you might be meditating while you're super stressed out or something because of school. Like, right now, you're like, everybody's in finals. You're like,
cool. Yeah.
Things are shitty. Like, I have no time. I have, like, all this, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. In a week, things are going to be, like, entirely different. You're like,
yeah.
Done. Whatever.
Things pass.
It's over.
We get through it.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can move on. And it's being able to be, like, aware of that. Like, oh, man, like, right now I feel shit. Like, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even if you're like, oh, take a breath. I realize, like, it's actually just for a moment, and, like, things are fine in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just, I'm kind of blowing things out of proportion for the time being, because mm-hmm. this is how I feel, you know?
Yeah.
In the moment, like, that emotion can be very strong.
Yeah, which is just
and it's
a natural...
being able to recognize it.
Yeah.
And the more that you meditate, the easier that it is to just recognize that out of the blue mm-hmm. and coming back to it, instead of, like, letting it take over your whole...
Yeah, because it's a natural tendency of the human mind to just, like,
we love to,
hold
yeah,
on to things.
Exacerbate things.
Yeah. Yeah, and, really, like, we can't help it. It happens, and, like, a lot of practices in therapy, or a lot of people will go to therapy because, you know, they're in distress and they want to, like, relieve their emotions, but also one thing that therapy has really taught me, at least personally, is, like, oh, yeah, feelings pass.
Yeah.
Like, and I forget that feelings pass, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this will pass, and, like, that's, you know, feelings move through you the same way that thoughts, you know, the, like, train.
Yeah, it's like that experience that you just said you had in your therapy session where it's like, it just helps to, like, also just have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Especially when
for
you,
sure.
like, meditate
for sure, for
anything.
Sure.
You're like, cool, I'm going to go, and somebody else can help you, like, point out and be like, oh, bring your awareness back to, like, mm-hmm. yourself and what you're actually going through. And you're like, why am I happy? Like, what does that mean to me? Like,
yeah.
What's going on? Or, like, why am I sad right now?
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, cool. I didn't even realize that that's what I was going through.
Yeah.
And as you meditate more, you kind of pick up an ability, I think, to do it yourself a little bit. Or at least, like, work with it in another way.
Yeah.
Which is...
like, talking from a different perspective,
yeah, exactly.
kind of, which I feel like is really helpful. Also, like, I know it sounds very... like, when you're, like, just take a breath if you feel anxious, or, like, take a breath if you feel angry, like... yeah, I'm going to take a breath and I'm still going to fucking
you're like,
feel
you're
anxious.
You're like, I'm breathing all the time.
I'm like, thank you so much for that.
Perfect.
And, like, that's not saying that, like, you're going to go up to an anxious person and just be like, take a breath. Because,
yeah,
like,
you're good. Problem solved, man.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Because, like, most of the time, it's not going to be that easy to let go of things, but just, like, understanding, like, okay, well, I know that it's really hard for me to let go of this anxious thought when I'm, like, practicing meditating, or I'm just, like, in my everyday life. Oh, maybe it's hard for other people also to let go of this. So instead of maybe trying to fix their feelings or fix the way that they're thinking, you're just sort of accepting it, letting it be. And then also, like, it helps you be there for them, I think, in a more validating way, in a more non-judgmental way, in a more, like, active listening way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just compassion and empathy. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
And... yeah, like, it also can help sometimes be, like, the person who's there, you're like, I won't approach it with, like, any judgment. I'm like, it's just a thing that you're going through. And then you're
yeah.
like, hey, it's fine, too. Like, have the experience.
Yeah.
Go through it.
Yeah.
But also, like, don't lose yourself in it.
Yeah.
That's like the whole taking a breath thing. And sometimes it comes out of context. I think a lot of times with meditation too, like I feel like I say that a lot of like, oh, just like take a breath and let it be.
Yeah. But you're also talking about it in the practice of
meditation.
Exactly.
Like a lot of people don't have the context that I do around it. I'm like, oh, right. This is where it's like, you can't just say that to somebody who's like going through like a panic attack or something. Like,
right.
Oh, thanks, man. Great help.
Like, yeah.
Perfect.
All I'm actually hyperventilating, so it is hard.
It's like being an example of like, oh, okay, have I gone through this experience or something similar? And like, how do I as a compassionate person relate that to them and my training with meditation, and how can I help them out?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help them go through this and like realize and kind of just be okay with it?
Yeah.
And so that's actually a big part of like the Buddhist religion is trying to become like an enlightened being, but for the benefit of other people, is one of the paths, but we don't have to get into that too much.
Yeah.
that brings up a whole bunch of other things, you know?
Yeah. But that's like
we'll
a great
on the more practical side of meditation.
A great like application of meditation, like not just for yourselves, but
just trying to be a compassionate person and like be like, oh, how can I actually help out other people?
Yeah. Because once
just
you
comes
help
as you do it more, you know?
Yeah.
You're just more aware of what other people are going through, and you're like, that experience sucks. Or like, that experience is awesome.
Yeah. Or you're like, oh wow, I'm gonna like, I'm feeling angry, and perhaps this anger is directed towards someone. I'm going to sit with that. Maybe like go follow that train of thought of like, maybe why am I angry at this person? You don't necessarily have to follow that train of thought.
Yeah.
But maybe if you do follow it and then let it go,
do it for a little bit. And then be like, all right, I'm actually tired of thinking about it.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, wait, yeah. But this anger will pass. And like this other person is also a human who's probably having so many other things come up for them at the same time. And like understanding yourself and understanding what happens in your mind just like confers a lot of empathy towards other people, because like, what is a person? But
it just helps you relate to people.
Yeah.
In general, yeah.
Which I think will be very helpful for collective empathy and normative change in empathy levels, like as a society, because what is a person but made of a group? And what is a group? What is a person but a part of a group? And what is a group but made of people? You know?
Very nice.
I don't know how long we've been talking, but I feel like it's time for a song.
Let's do it.
This is Today's Your Day. What you gonna do?
This one's so good.
By Fat Lip. Shout out Ben for the recommendation.
To lose, so fuck the blues, ain't your bad news, you can trip if you choose, while I sip booze on a 7-day cruise, in Louis Vuitton shoes, with floozies by the tubes, the good life, talking about the good life, live it up for a little while, then go to the hood to get a good wife, and settle down, but for now, I'm studying down, refuse to allow myself to defile, like when I was sniffing pals, still got trials and tribulations, refinement from cultivation takes patience, I'm waiting, paper chasing the kid. A place like Peyton, politicking, interfacing, business relations, built the empire from the underground, then retire. Who said I was on crack? You's a motherfucking liar. See me in the trench coat, but miss the joke. So fuck the hoax. My mission is this: get in position to assist my folks. Huh? Get in position to assist my mother, my mother, and my auntie, and my uncle, my folks. You know. Today, baby, what you gonna do? Today's your payday, what you gonna do? Today's your day, baby, what you gonna do? Today's your day, baby, what you gonna do? Oh. I know, what do I know, looking for hope. Puffin' throw, tryna die slow, wicked fly flow.
Intimate verses that hit surface with quick service, but never nervous in this big circus. A quick purchase of green foliage and clean bowl hits. Redeems focus when it seems hopeless. Supreme dopeness on plain paper for you plan rapers. This landscape is papers, a race of this sandpaper. Don't try to fan papers, you caught this onslaught. Reform start, the poems you perform be pure slop. For sure, shot a handcuffer. Word bluffer, heard enough of the bullshit. You nerds suck up out the back gate. Living so pregnant, we lactate. Get your facts straight. We stack papes and crack plates over wax snakes who pack hate. They lack faith while tuna and fat lip put you in a relaxed state like
day to day, baby. What you gonna do?
bump in the mix. Can't predict my art, shit, it hit the top of the charts. But my heart's in the right place, nice headspace. Slow pace from the Buddha, but not the bass. Not a moment to waste. 33, no degree of GED. My mind's free, I learn when I'm being taught. I see how the battle's fought, it's opposite of how I thought. I woke up, opened my eyes up, rise up, wise up to the game. Time to change the name, Eddie Crap. Coming with different shit, Eddie Crap. Write it down, niggas see the reverse significance. It's terrific when I'm on top of my game. Specifically speaking, the way I be freaking my slang. Give me the moo moo, the poo poo, and the mic, and I'm creeps. Fat lips, squeaky clean, don't stop, don't cease. Today, today, baby, what you gonna do?
Okay. Wow, it doesn't feel like we've been talking for like almost an hour.
Nope, time flies.
Time flies by when you're having fun. What? Bestie check. Okay. I guess we can get like a little bit more meta. Well, not really actually, but like, yeah, what does, I don't know how to like segue in this, so I'm just going to talk about it. I'm just going to literally read this off. The potential impact of of meditation on the self. I feel like we've been talking about that like the whole time, basically, well, yeah, I mean, but also just like
the main subject,
like ultimately what you're learning from meditation is like, I guess, getting down to who you are.
Yeah. I don't even know if I would say like that you're learning anything. You're just experiencing
who you are.
Yeah. It's like your genuine self.
Right.
So you're just sitting there. It's not like you're trying to not have any distractions or like, be anybody else. You're not putting on a persona.
Right.
You don't have to. You just like, break it down.
Right.
And just let things come up. And as they come up, you kind of discover more about yourself. You're like, just naturally, you have these emotions, you have these feelings. You're like, you're just looking at it. You're just being like non-judgmentally, letting it happen.
Yeah. No
seeing
ego.
Seeing it, being like, oh, cool. Don't analyze it. Don't go into be like, don't label yourself as a certain thing.
Yeah.
Like, just because a thought comes up.
Right.
Just let it be.
Right.
And then from there, just let more come up and just experience it. Be like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that came up. You can question it, try to maybe think about it, but then don't like delve into it.
Right.
No reason to.
Right. But could you, like, would it be like if I wanted to, I could though, but I shouldn't.
Sure. But it's also like, I mean, you could, but as you get deeper into like meditation practices and the whole philosophy is like letting go of the ego, which is then you don't want to label yourself as anything.
Right.
It's like you don't, you're like, oh, I'm like, I don't even know how I couldn't come up with a label on the spot right there.
It's kind of like, you're like you're an outsider looking in at yourself.
No,
sort
you're
of,
just yourself you're just... looking at yourself.
Damn.
Like, yeah, you don't have to approach yourself with any judgment, good or bad. You don't have to be like, someone else, like, oh man, analyzing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, this is just who I am genuinely as a person.
Right. Like, you don't have to be perceived or perceive yourself. You just are.
Just let whatever happens, like, just let it come up. Be like, oh man, bringing things up is just like in emotions, but it's like, it's whatever comes up.
You know?
It's like, it doesn't have to be emotion based.
I feel like I would be best at meditation when I'm hungover. Because I hate thinking about how I was perceived. Right. And I was like, it's so rude that people perceived me last night.
That would just make it very hard.
Yeah.
That would make it very hard. Because you're inevitably just going to judge yourself all the time. But yeah, in those scenarios, it's like you lay it on. You're like, oh man, I did like all of this.
Yeah. But I feel like that would make me better. Because then I'm like, oh, I don't even want to perceive myself. I just like,
I mean, it'd bring more things up. It'd be hard to work with. Because like, you're also, you don't have to sit down and be like, you don't have to set the intention of like, oh, I'm going to get to know myself today.
Right.
Because
that's not like, the intention of meditation.
I mean, you can set, every time you meditate, technically you're like supposed to set an intention, but oftentimes I just sit to sit. You're like, oh, I just want some space.
Yeah. That's my intention.
And that can be the intention behind it, you know?
Yeah.
Or you can try to play around with like, oh man, today I am going to like try to who am I and figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm not. But it's not like you're actually doing anything different. You're still just sitting there.
Right. Because you don't want to place expectations on what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, even if you do, it's like other things are going to come up that are going to then change those expectations, you know?
Right.
Naturally, things are just going to flow that way.
Right.
But, yeah. I don't know. I think just like sitting with yourself, inevitably you get to know yourself better.
Yeah.
And who you actually are, not who you like perceive to be or who you show to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
you.
It's genuinely you.
Yeah.
And then from there, that's what you try to actually present and share with other people. It's like, oh, I want to be this, like you, I am a good, compassionate human person. Like,
yeah,
there's this saying, everyone is basically good. I think we talked about this briefly.
Yeah.
When we were like kind of planning the show. And that is a really hard concept to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very simple. Like, everyone is basically good.
Right. Especially in an individualistic
society. Yeah, when you would try to apply it to, like, some specific person, too, you're like, no, that person's bad.
Yeah.
They're bad. Like, they have nothing, no good bone in their body. But, like, as a human being, you are basically good. And, like, everything in the world and surrounding you is basically good. It is. And we won't get into that because that's way too complicated, but...
But maybe we'll get into it another time.
It's this funny thing that you, like, just... Yeah, play with, and you're like, grasp on, and you're like, what the hell does that even mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, with that basis of, like, oh, yeah, cool, I am a good person, and, like, how do I share my goodness and my compassion with everybody else and bring it to the real world?
Yeah.
And to do that, you have to get to know yourself, and you just have to sit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was such a beautiful way to end, I think, like, wrap up our entire segment. That was so awesome. We're basically good.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like negative connotations around like empathy and how empathy can be seen as a weakness, but like really it's a strength.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like the most
how you actually connect with people and have
a
human relation.
Yeah. Which is pretty important as a human being, as just a girl, just a girl in a world. Wow. Usually we end with a song, but we've just been chatting.
We
could chat for hours. That was Panacea.
That was awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Ben, for sharing your wisdom. This is CKUT 90.3 FM, and I'll see you guys from 5 to 6 p.m. today, but usually that's not a thing. And next month, we're going to have a segment on major depressive disorder to celebrate our one-year anniversary. Bye.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Florence Agathe Dubé-Moreau, autrice du livre Hors-jeu, tout juste paru aux éditions du Remis Ménage. Vous écoutez Les Beaux Sons avec Nathalie Dupalma sur les ondes du 92.3.
Bonsoir, j'espère que vous allez bien. Ce soir, nous avons la chance de recevoir Florence Agathe Dubé-Moreau. Elle vient nous parler de son premier essai hors-jeu, conçu en complicité avec son conjoint, le joueur de football Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. À partir de son expérience personnelle et d'une posture d'exception, elle déconstruit un à un les mythes entourant les femmes dans l'industrie du sport professionnel, en plus d'être une grande alliée de nos communautés LGBTQ+. Évidemment, je ne peux pas passer sous silence la triste nouvelle qui a secoué le Québec la semaine passée avec le décès de Carl Tremblay, chanteur des Cowboys Fringants. C'est pourquoi ce soir, on va lui rendre hommage en jouant les chansons du groupe et on revient avec notre invitée, Florence Agathe Dubé-Moreau.